Now, it's probably a bit morbid to start off this way, but how many people here have seen a dead body before? I'm talking about a dead body, like in the flesh, and not just a picture of a dead body or something you've seen on films. So that's quite a number. I'm assuming it's probably at a funeral, right, that you've seen a dead body before. Well, hopefully, the dead body that you saw previously was a body which was lying peacefully, but sometimes that's not the case, is it? Now, when you saw that dead body, how did it make you feel? Sad? Any other emotions? A little bit scared? Yeah? Yeah, sad, scared, all sorts of negative emotions like that come up when we encounter death. Now, I'm assuming that your situation is probably similar to mine, but personally, I find death very sad. For some reason, I honestly find it hard not to break down crying when attending funerals. And it doesn't have to be the funeral necessarily of anyone related to me for me to feel that way. I think it's maybe just a case that for some reason I'm sensitive to the sadness of others, and that moves me. And it's one of the reasons why I don't like attending funerals. There's something awfully sad about death, and it's worse when you hear of stories of young or innocent people dying. Like the story of a 12-year-old Vietnamese boy called Minh, who lost his life back in October. This boy Minh was from a poor family. They moved from the countryside up to the city in order to try and make a living. But the living they made was as garbage collectors. Their job was to collect rubbish at the side of the road and to put it in the garbage truck. Now, one night, after working all night collecting rubbish, Minh was getting down from the back of the garbage truck to go back home. And as he was doing so, unfortunately, the driver of a container truck lost control of his vehicle and Minh was struck and killed. According to the newspaper report, the bystanders who saw what had happened at that time and his mum was there, a lot of them cried as they saw the raw emotion of his mother as she held the mangled body of her son in her arms. That's a sad story, and hopefully none of us will ever end up the way that Minh did. But the scary thing is, unless the Lord returns soon, all of us here will one day die. And there are no guarantees that our death will be a peaceful one. It's wrong for us to think that we'll all get to live till we're at least 80 and we won't suffer from any diseases or threats to our life in that time before finally slipping away peacefully to the other side. We don't know all the details regarding our future, and how a particular person is going to die is something that God doesn't necessarily reveal to us. But chances are, one day, you'll be lying in a coffin. Chances are, one day, you'll also see a loved one lying in a coffin, if you haven't already. We all know what happens at a funeral. The body of the deceased is cleaned and laid in a coffin. They try to make the deceased look peaceful, but no matter how peaceful they might look, a dead body is simply not the same as a live body. A dead body is missing that spark of life. We can see the body, but we know in our hearts that no one's home. The body of the person once loved by family and friends is now cold and unresponsive. It's just a shell without any soul. A funeral service is held, goodbyes are said, and tears shed, and then the body of the deceased is laid in a hole, basically, to rot in the ground, or else placed in a furnace to be burnt to ashes. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Whence our bodies came, return we must. Some of you may have heard last year of the amazing discovery of the burial place of King Richard III of England. He died in battle back in 1485, and for over 400 years, no one knew the exact location of the place of his burial. But then archaeologists began looking for his grave, and eventually they found him buried under a car park in the city of Leicester. Reputed to be a hunchback, amazingly, you can even see the curvature of his spine. This was an important archaeological discovery, but all it really proved was that King Richard III was dead and had been so for over 500 years. And friends, this is the massively important question that stares each one of us in the face. In the end, is death the end of human life? In the end, is death the winner who takes all? Is death ultimately victorious? You know, once we're buried in the grave, is that the end of the story? Is all we have to look forward to? Is it like hundreds or thousands of years simply rotting away in the grave like King Richard? We all know that the human body, for all its complexity and resilience, is fragile and perishable. But the Christian faith asserts that death isn't the end. It's true that flesh and blood, as we currently know it, isn't immortal. We know that our human bodies are perishable. But the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that there's more to our bodies than just what we currently have. In verse 50, he acknowledges that flesh and blood isn't able to inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. In our bodies as they currently are, we're not able to live forever. Our bodies, as we currently know them, are subject to decay. And no matter what substances or techniques you might use to extend your life on earth, you're not going to live forever in the body that you currently have. And friends, this is true even if you're a Christian. No matter how many times God might heal you, no matter how many miracles he might perform in your life, this side of Christ's return, you're still going to get old and one day die. Think about Lazarus in the Bible. He got sick and died. And even though Jesus was around at the time to be able to raise him from the dead after 4 days lying dead in the tomb, we're not told, subsequent to that, that Lazarus lived forever. Lazarus was raised from the grave by Jesus at that time only to die again at a certain point of time in the future. So despite the miracle that Jesus performed on Lazarus, his body was still subject to decay, and one day he died. Lazarus had a resurrection body, but that resurrection body was still perishable. But one day, he, like us, will receive a resurrection body that isn't perishable, but imperishable. And Paul talks about this in verses 51 to 53. He says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. All will not fall asleep, but all will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet." The Bible tells us that when Jesus returns, his coming will be announced by angels blowing trumpets. The king will come in the train of an angelic procession, and heavenly music will announce his arrival. At that time, those who are still alive on earth will be transformed, Paul says, in an instant, in the blink of an eye. Their mortal bodies will be clothed with immortality. And in a similar way, the souls of those who have already died will receive their resurrection bodies also at that time. The dead will be raised imperishable, Paul says. their bodies too will be changed. Our current perishable bodies will be clothed on that day with imperishability and immortality. The bodies that we will receive on the last day will be bodies that will be fit for eternal life in the presence of God. And friends, that is the sure and certain hope that we have as Christians, thanks to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, all of this means what Paul points out in verses 54 to 57. If Christ is risen from the dead, and if those who believe in Christ will also rise from the dead, then in the end, what that means is we will be victorious over death. After our perishable mortal bodies have become imperishable and immortal, then Paul says that all of the Old Testament prophecies about how God will deal with death and swallow it up, all of those prophecies will be fulfilled. It's a hope that's been there in the Old Testament even before Jesus was resurrected from the dead. God will deal with the problem of death. In verse 54, Paul quotes from Isaiah 25, verse 8, where it was promised that one day God would swallow up death forever and wipe away the tears from everyone's face. This language is picked up by the Apostle John in Revelation 21, where he saw in a vision the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And at that time, John heard a voice proclaiming, "Behold, now the dwelling place of God is with humanity. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither will there be any mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things will have passed away." Friends, do you see what's being promised there? In the end, what God promises us is the death of death. One day God will be fully victorious over death. All of that sadness that you feel, if you ever lost a loved one before, and even the thoughts that you have, the anxieties, thinking about your own death, one day God will deal fully with the problem of death. There will be total victory. Now that's a victory that began with Jesus' resurrection from the dead, and the victory will be complete when Jesus returns and the general resurrection will take place. At that time, the words of Hosea 13:14 will be fulfilled. "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death will not be victorious." Jesus assures us of that. Now, when you look out there at the experience of humanity in the world, with so many billions of bodies in the grave and people dying every day, I think you have to say that on a surface level, just looking temporarily, glancing at things, it does look as if death is the winner. You can go down to Rookwood Cemetery any day of the week. Anyone know how many dead people are actually buried in Rookwood Cemetery? Anyone want to guess? It is actually the largest necropolis, which is an interesting name, the City of the Dead. It is a big place. It's the largest necropolis in the Southern Hemisphere. It's basically serving a lot of Sydney for over 100 years. How many dead people there, you reckon? 2,000? 50,000? 50,000? Those are small numbers. The estimate is 1 million. There's 1 million dead people there in Rookwood Cemetery. That's a lot of dead people, including a fair few of my ancestors too. Now, it's a large number, but Rookwood is just one cemetery out of all of the cemeteries that exist on Earth. And some people have tried to calculate how many cemeteries are there actually on planet Earth. People aren't really sure. But people do think, those who have tried to estimate it, is it's actually millions of cemeteries that are here on planet Earth. Now, it may look at first glance, and even after decades of research, it may look as if death is victorious, that no one escapes the clutches of death. But friends, on the day that Jesus returns, he will come victorious over all. And it will be apparent to everyone that the victory and sting of death has been only temporary. Paul tells us in verse 56 that the sting of death is sin. It's rebellion against God that kills us. He reminds us of that fact. And the power of sin is the law. The commandment given to Adam and the law that was given to Moses, these things have brought death to the human race and to the people of Israel respectively, because both Adam and Israel rebelled against God's word. We need to realize here that it's God's word that gives life. It's God's word that created this universe. It's God's word that has made us. Life comes from God and his word. So if you rebel against God's word, what's going to happen to you? If you don't have God's word in your heart, then God's word actually ends up condemning and killing you. But thanks be to God, through what Jesus has done, is doing and will do, that nexus of law, Satan, sin and death has been overcome. We now have a new nexus which has arrived. With the coming of the new covenant, the law, Satan, sin and death has been replaced by the nexus of gospel, spirit, obedience and life. And friends, it's because of Jesus. It's because of him and his word and spirit that we can be victorious over death. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, God gives us the victory. And the truth of Christ's victory over death, when you think about it, has massive implications for our daily lives. First of all, the reality of resurrection and Christ's victory over death means that we have hope. It means that we don't need to grieve in the face of death as if death were the end. Now, your average funeral, even though people like to celebrate someone's life, the life of the person who's just passed away, really, they're sad affairs, aren't they? There's something terrible about death which snatches people away. Those bonds of love being broken between the loved one and those who love them. But as Christians, death isn't the end. We're not powerless in the face of death and the march of time. In Jesus, we have the reality of life. Our destiny isn't that of a rotting body slowly being eaten up by worms. Our destiny is life. It's eternal life. Life in all its fullness. And furthermore, as Paul points out in verse 58, the reality of resurrection and Christ's victory over death means that we can be focused in this life. We need to be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. If resurrection and eternal life are our destiny, then that means no matter what might come at us, we can still keep on going. We can stay strong and focused in this life. We can keep on serving the Lord and working for him in everything that we do, no matter what the opposition may be that we encounter. So friends, don't be tempted to chase the short-term solutions that the world throws at us in order to find happiness. You know, slaving away just to make gains in this life, either justly or unjustly, is basically just a waste of time. If ultimately there's no contribution to the work of God's kingdom in doing what you're doing. I read in the paper yesterday of how many Aussie tourists these days are unhappy at the latest efforts of the Thai authorities to clean up the beaches in Phuket. Lots of beaches have had their beach chairs removed, other services cleaned up, and the tourists are complaining. Well, there's nothing necessarily wrong with being a tourist, but is that all you're living for? Your beach chair? How many Aussies end up going to Thailand or over to Bali just to party and get drunk? Why are they doing that? It's because they don't have any sense of purpose in life. They don't have any longer-term perspective that comes from looking at life from God's eternal perspective. They're chasing a short-term hit, a momentary high, before they come crashing back to earth. Their lives are basically just a waste. A waste of time, a waste of energy. If your life isn't being lived for a godly purpose, then it's just a waste of time. But as Christians, knowing the reality of resurrection, knowing what that means for the future for each one of us, if we have faith in Jesus, then our lives should be different here on planet Earth. For those of us whom God has granted to see and understand the bigger picture, then living for the Lord and laboring for Him is never a waste. Friends, Christ's victory over death assures our victory over death. So, in the light of that fact, let's give ourselves over to working for the Lord and His kingdom. Let's live for Him. Toiling for Him? Of course. There'll be difficulties along the way. But in the end, it will be plain for everyone to see that living for God isn't a waste of time. So, as we wait for the day of resurrection, let's use the life that God has given us for Him. Let's fight for Him and for His purposes. Let's have the right eternal perspective on life. Because, friends, through Jesus, our victory is assured.